Well, welcome to the path forward. That was a request for Spoon Man. That's a little Soundgarden and Chris Cornell. Love that song. Can never play that enough. Just saying. This week, most of you know Seth. He's been on the roundtable, at least a dozen times, not half a dozen times?
Something like that, yeah.
Jesus, how many live chats did we do on Telegram before we finally got on a Rumble? Man, many. So.
And there's always a bunch of IT work that goes into it.
There always is. Yeah, today there was excessive amount of cursory IT setup before we could get the damn thing running. So I haven't figured out the forehead to sign ratio yet, but eventually I'll get it figured out so that the sign, you know, this neon sign that I spent a shitload of money on will actually fit in the picture so I don't have to lower it down. But, you know, stranger things have happened. God, there's so much to unpack with Venezuela, man. I don't even know where to start. I'll just say this, and I'll let you chime in. That was a rescue mission, man. That dude's too happy to be a deposed dictator. Like, the dude was on the payroll. Clearly, he's on the payroll. There's no other way I can say it. Like, when I saw Hussein in Baghdad in 2004, that dude was first of all, he's in a diaper. Second of all, he's scared shitless. Like, you walk up to his cell, he was scared shitless the whole time. And this is like months after he'd been kidnapped. I mean, captured. I mean, liberated. Whatever you want to call it. And I see that shit now with Maduro, and I'm like, this dude's not going to Club Fed. He's going to Club Med. I mean, damn. I don't know what else to say, man.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, you look at the contrast between the pictures that are coming out with Maduro, and he's posing with all the DEA guys and everybody else. You know, everybody's getting a picture to put on the wall in their Fed building hallway with Maduro. I wonder if he's signing these pictures, right? Like post GWAT, there's all these pictures of all these guys with, you know, Bush and Cheney, and they did the tour, right? They came over and everybody gets their picture, and then they go back stateside and there's a picture with so-and-so behind them. I feel like that's what Maduro is doing right now. He's doing the autograph tour with all these feds. Absolutely. So good for him.
Absolutely. They didn't replace the regime. They swore in the vice president, who's part of the same regime. So, what exactly have we accomplished there? We haven't accomplished anything. And I mean, clearly he made a deal. I mean, clearly
he totally did.
I don't know if you heard this rumor, but the rumor I heard today was that there was Cuban regulars that were holding him hostage, and we went in to get him out because the Cubans don't want to give up their money stream. And it was really the Cubans behind all of this, that they are the ones that were controlling the Dominion Smartmatic. You can see how that narrative started to develop, right? So Cuba's our next target. So, I don't know what to believe, man. I look at this and I go, this is just a dumpster fire.
Well, like, we need to stop looking over towards Ukraine because, I mean, why would we keep approving billions of dollars to go there inexplicably? So maybe we need something else to do.
Well, you know that they're doing a troop buildup over there, right? You know, that's going on at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. All that's happening all at the same time. So,
well, yeah. My theory on that is we're going to invade Somalia and then create Somaliland so we have somewhere to deport all the people from Minneapolis. But they're going to deport the white ones, not the brown ones.
Yeah, the Somaliland's already a done deal because Israel's recognized them. So, therefore, they are a state now. Yeah. When Israel recognizes you, for regardless of the UN or the rest of the world, your money. And by the way, all the money that was pilfered from Washington, Oregon, California, Minnesota, Massachusetts, and Ohio all went to Somaliland. So, yeah.
Yep.
And
yeah, I mean, the Somaliland thing, actually, like, joking aside, like, that is a brilliant political move, right? So, I mean, it's pretty obvious that Trump is looking to throw out as many illegals or people that we don't particularly want here as possible. And the Somali, the whole Minneapolis Somali. Well, it's not just Minneapolis, but that's one of the locations. But the whole Somali quote unquote refugee thing that happened, it's been way too long and nobody's undone that. So I think he's looking at it as a way of kind of leveling the scales back out. Maybe
you think he's, do you think he put this together? Or do you think, cause this for all things being equal, right? If he put this together and this was something he was doing while he was in exile, I mean, waiting for the next election cycle, it really makes you wonder, did he know about the fraud? Because if you're watching the folks that are in state government, especially in Minnesota, they're all panicking right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't see that Trump was involved in that, but I think if, you know, propping them up and making them a state and, you know, giving people a reason to go back, absolutely a smart move. Absolutely.
Yep. Yep.
Absolutely. Strategically, tactically. And if you don't know where Somalia is at on a map, it is.
You don't need to. you don't need to know. You're never going to go there. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. What is one place I will never visit on vacation? Oh, that's funny. That's true too. Yeah. Strategically, it's in a very interesting place. Yeah, it's just very interesting. I think the fact that this has developed over time and now is turning into statehood, I think that's a very interesting move. Israel, and of course, you know, this conversation about Venezuela, Netanyahu's got to go online and make it all about him, you know, in Israel, like they're the center of the known fucking universe, which drives me insane because they're not. But his comments today about Central and South America turning towards Israel. Yeah, no one cares. No, nobody gives a shit. Israel's not the center of the universe. I thought Texas was the center of the known universe. So call me crazy.
Well, I wonder about, you know, he says stuff like that and it makes me wonder, you know, since AIPAC owns most, if not all of our quote unquote elected officials, you know, when he goes out and says something like that, what does that really mean? You know, I mean, I'm a big fan of white people and dog whistles. So, you know, what's the dog? Speaking of which, is that your dog?
Yeah, they're freaking out outside.
Okay.
It's probably another dog walking by. They're brave and shit when there's other dogs and they're behind the fence. But when they get up close to a dog, it's like, oh, I'm scared. I'm brave. I'm scared. So yeah.
That's what my dog does. You have a 115-pound dog and he's real brave until he meets a 6-pound cat. And then he's like, holy crap, I don't want to lose my nose. Hold on a minute. Let's not. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to get hooked up.
So. Yeah. So anyway, the interesting thing about Netanyahu's comments though, it does make me wonder, you know, what's he signaling there? What's the Israeli interest? And I mean, I don't think it's necessarily anything super complicated. Maybe they're looking for some cheap oil or some other kind of trading opportunities. And they're essentially telling our side of the fence here that we need to hook them up.
Well, Somalia proper has been stripped of resources since early 90s. So there's nothing there except for warlords.
I'm talking about, right? South America.
Oh, South America, it's all about resources. That to me is all about well, I think two things. Let me say that differently. So I think my camera's doing its own thing again. Just disregard my camera and move around. I do think it's about resources. But, you know, when Chavez came to town way back in the early 90s, he annexed all the Exxon oil there. So he annexed and nationalized oil from, I think, Exxon, Shell, and BP. I think it was all three. But I think Exxon was the biggest loser because it was the tune of several billion dollars, as I remember it.
Yep.
And when he did annex that, you know, there was always the vow to go back. So my guess is that the companies wanted to go back in, the oligarchs wanted to go back in. And this, Trump saw an opportunity to do satisfy a number of different lines of operation. Like one of the biggest ones is denying Russia and China operational bases in the Caribbean, because that is in our strategic interest. And I think it's the precursor to stopping the flow of PLA into US and Canada from Venezuela up through the Darien Gap into the US, because Venezuela was a hub for Chinese PLA to come into the country and then exfiltrate and go up through the Panama Canal all the way up into the US through the southern border. So I know that that's one of them. The other one, I think, too, and really this is troops domain, it's not mine. I think there's a push now to stabilize our southern border so we can go after and deal with our northern border, which I think is more of a danger right now. So if you're not familiar with China and Canada's relationship, there's always been a huge footprint of Russian KGB and Chinese in intel in Calgary and in Toronto for decades. And over the last 10 years since, you know, Trudeau came in, that presence has grown steadily in both British Columbia all the way over to Alberta. And they have a huge presence on the border in all of those provinces. So I see this as the number one first step in securing the Caribbean. The next will probably be Colombia, or at least it's in the line. Cuba will be in there as well. And that's really just to shore up the Gulf of America / Caribbean. And then we'll start focusing on Canada and Greenland. So I definitively think this was a strategic move for a lot of reasons, but who knows? I mean, we could flush out a lot of different scenarios here, but at the end of the day, it's going to be based on what Trump does next. Because if things deteriorate in Venezuela, that doesn't help anybody, and that creates more insurgents that will ultimately come to the U.S. So he's got to follow through now and make something happen. He is right, though, and so is John Bolton. But I can't believe I'm agreeing with John Bolton. But John Bolton said the same thing, right? The CIA anointed, you know, president in exile, the Venezuelan people don't trust her. I mean, there's like Substack after interview after interview that show that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that other than my blabbering?
I don't disagree with any of that. I mean, I got to trust the plan, Steve. I mean, this is 5D chess, you know.
I knew that shit was coming.
I think a lot of conservatives are kind of overthinking a lot of this. They're like, oh, you know, Trump's a statesman and he's going back to the Monroe Doctrine and we're going to, you know, start operating in our own hemisphere. And, you know, I'm just going to call bullshit on that and say, you know, I think Trump's a real estate guy and he's not a dumbass. And he realizes that when you need resources, it's cheaper to haul from, you know, a mile away than it is from 100 miles away. And so, I mean, I don't see him as a statesman or a chess player. Putin's a chess player. And you look at what he says and then what he does, and it's very obvious that he is playing a game of chess. Trump, if you actually look at what he says and then look at what he does, it's very obvious we are not playing a game of chess. Because the pieces don't fit together. They don't line up. They don't make a unified front.
Hang on. You know, let me go deal with the dogs. They're pissing me off. I'll be right back.
Right. Go on.
Sorry for the awkward silence. That's a dog version of online chat. Sorry, where were we at before I was so rudely interrupted?
So I was just saying that I don't think Trump is much of a statesman or a chess player.
I think there's definitely a grander plan here, right? And, you know, I think the election piece of it is just one piece, because that is a component of this, from what I understand. And I've heard it now from, like, I don't know, three or four different sources inside the system. So, you know, the other thing too is that they're, and I heard some things about Bongino too, which we'll see if those are real. But when you look at Venezuela from a strategic perspective, and you look at Argentina is already basically in our pocket, you know, we're trying to counter Brazil and the communist movement, because there's a huge communist movement in both Chile and Peru. And it's got more traction in Peru than it does in Chile. But, you know, Uruguay, Paraguay, Colombia is a narco state. Mexico is a narco state. If you want to cut off the sources of funding, Venezuela was the hub for a lot of different sources, right? Promethean Action, the gal was, I listened to her stuff today, and she was talking about how this is a center, the Caribbean is a center for illicit money in these off-the-books banks that were created by the Europeans back in the 60s in the City of London. I don't know how much of the City of London stuff I buy into anymore. I think that, you know, if you want to get down to brass tacks, I think this is a dick-waving contest between a bunch of oligarchs, old money versus new money. I think the tech bros have worn out their welcome with the political elite on the East Coast. I think that there's a push for AI, there's a push for space, there's a push for a lot of different things. But at the core of it, it all boils down to resources and currency. And I think that the resources, like you said, it's better to move something a mile versus 100 miles or 5,000 miles. And, you know, let's just say that the Saudi peak oil thing was real and they're past peak oil and they're starting on the decline. We'll have to find oil sources in another place. In addition to that, we're going to have to find sources of income or trading partners. And Trump's big plan is, we'll do the refinement. You do the resourcing. We'll do the refinement. Everybody wins. Yeah, we'll see it. Yeah. We know how that worked out, and I think that's called mercantilism. So we'll see how that works out for the Venezuelan people. But, you know, if we're just replacing the British aristocracy and mercantilism with American mercantilism, I don't see that benefiting anybody. I think where the real rubber is going to meet the road, and again, there's a lot of politics when it comes to Central and South America. Like, Mexico is owned by, it used to be owned by like three different families. They own the entire country. And the narco state moved in with the help of the CIA and MI6. And those assets are still in play, not only in Venezuela, but in Colombia. So if the first step is to take Maduro out and go after the drug trade, what you're doing is you're taking out the money. And if you're taking out the money and the ability to launder money through Venezuela out to the Caribbean or out to the City of London, okay, that's a setback, but they're just going to set up shop somewhere else. Mm. So, you know, I don't know. Do I sound high on that?
No, I would agree. So, I mean, there's a lot there, but I think that big picture, the global economy that America foolishly embraced, you know, I guess 40 years ago now, and out when we started outsourcing everything to China, that's not going to work anymore. And I think Trump knows that. That's a massive vulnerability for a bunch of different reasons. And, you know, maybe it has to do with resources running thin. I personally think it has to do with logistics, and I think that our smarter military strategists and some of our state's people are probably telling Trump that we inevitably will end up fighting China unless something drastically changes. And it's probably not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And when that happens, you're not going to be able to transit anything across the oceans. It's going to be way worse than World War II. And that's because you don't need submarines anymore. Everybody's going to have freaking drones.
Drones and hypersonic missiles.
Yeah.
And you can see something from space a long ways away and target it from space before it can even get halfway across the ocean.
Well,
I agree.
Yeah. And I mean, that if you're talking about high technology weaponry, that's absolutely. I would say that, you know, if you just look at what Iran and some of these other countries are developing Ukraine's a great example. I mean, you can put explosives on about anything, apparently, and make it a weapon. So, I mean, if the price to entry is a bunch of cheap drones and explosives and being able to put it on whatever and send it out into the ocean to take out shipping lanes, I mean, you're not going to ship anything. Ships way more expensive and we can't replace them. So
that was part of what I was going to say is that, and then you bring up a good point. Not only have we outsourced the manufacturing, but we've outsourced all the knowledge, right? So the knowledge base isn't here. That's, and I think that's why there's an emphasis on AI and robotics, because they know that we can't rebuild all of that corporate knowledge, but we can definitely program it into robots and into automation to be able to do a lot of those tasks that we've sacrificed the corporate knowledge on, right? Because the knowledge base is just gone. Like I look at the iron ore industry here and the steel industry, and we've basically, you know, we dismantled that in the 70s, which I think was the biggest mistake we could have ever made. And, you know, it is what it is, right? But then on the other side of that, I look at the aircraft machinist unit or the auto workers union, and they fucking price themselves out of the market, right?
Yep.
And look at Boeing's. Boeing finally said in the early 2000s, and I think it was actually more like 2007, 2008 is when they finally said, we can't do this. We can't do the retirement anymore. We can't do the pension fund anymore. It's killing us. And you can make a lot of cases either way that they looted it, they borrowed against whatever. That's not the point. The point is that the cost of employment was crushing them. And you know, it's like logistics is a margin business. It's a throughput business. And I can use, you know, Cerakote's the same way, right? Like I've stopped doing Cerakote because it's throughput business. You know, I spend 6 hours on a rifle and I'm charging, you know, $250 to do the coding. You know, every hour that goes past that, if I screw something up, I'm into, you know, $10 an hour, $5 an hour. Pretty soon I'm in negative numbers and I haven't made any money on it. I've spent 6 hours doing that. Mm-hmm. And you got to have a throughput where you're doing, you know, multiple at a time for it to make a lot of sense. And it's the same thing with aircraft, right? With aircraft, they got to have the orders for the next 5 years so the throughput's going and so the revenue's going. So every time they stamp out an airplane, they get paid. And, you know, and you're talking about $300, $400 million an airplane, and a lot of them are going to leasing companies, which are being leased back to the airlines, and the airlines are in the same place. They got to keep every airplane they fly has to be full. Otherwise, they're losing money, right?
Yep.
So there's a lot of incentives for us to do cheaper labor and automation to alleviate the cost of labor, right? And then there's the function of when you do things at scale, if you can programmatically do it versus use people to do it, there's less opportunity for there to be defects. I mean, there's still going to be defects in the initial stages as you go through and iterate to get it better and better. But over time, those defects go to zero. And, you know, with the human element, and I'll use fucking Ford as a perfect example, right? The Bronco came out in 2021. The first year there was like 100 recalls. The second year there was double that. The third year there was triple that. The fourth year there was quadruple that. And they still haven't fixed them all. And it's apathy more than anything else, right? So you don't have to worry about pride and workmanship and quality control if you're stamping out the same thing every single time, right? Where it becomes a problem and where it becomes problematic at scale is when you're talking about using robots to do, you know, to pour molds, like to pour metal molds, right? Because they can fucking melt themselves if they do the wrong thing, right?
Yep.
If they tip it right instead of left, they melt themselves. So there's definitely a learning curve there. And I think that that learning curve is going to get, you know, shorter and shorter. But where I'm going with all this is, I think that's where all of the discussion around AI and all of the discussion about automation and robots, I think that's why, because Trump knows he can't rebuild the skill sets that fast. And he knows he's going to have a war on his hands probably before he leaves office. So yep. He's trying to set conditions so that we have the manufacturing capacity to meet the Chinese, at least to interdict them from crossing the Pacific, right? Because they're not quite a seafaring nation yet. I mean, they got problems with ships cracking and, you know, yep. aircraft carriers not working, planes crashing, blah, blah, blah. But they'll sort that out. Yep. Whether they sort it out with bodies, they sort it out with program, who knows? But I don't know. That's where I think it's going. I think that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah. So I think so too. I think the major miscalculation there is exactly what you said. Trump is trying to solve the problem, and he's trying to solve the problem as a king. And no, I don't think he's a king, but we run into the same issues over and over, where we keep layering on more and more government, needing more and more taxes to pay for it. And then you have the people that take control of the government thinking that they're going to wield the power and solve the problems instead of going back to the root of the problem and reducing the power and reducing the bureaucracy and reducing fucking taxes and letting Americans solve the problem, right? So I think this is going is it's going to implode. But strategically, I think you're 100% right.
Yeah, I'm going to give Trump a little credit here, because I think he's realized that he's never going to get the regulatory relief he needs, right? Look at the automobile industry. Like, why the fuck are we building these massive pickups with V6s in them when we can build smaller pickups with more capacity, you know, smaller vehicles with more capacity, et cetera. And that's a result of the, you know, CAFE regulations and some of the other fuel efficiency regulations that are just, they're not tenable. And I think Trump's realized that he's not going to be able to pivot that fast enough for it to make a difference on the battlefield.
Yep.
I think they do know that a war is coming. I think they're trying to figure out that the best way for them to meet the shortages in knowledge is to go all in on robotics and AI. But again, AI is not, it's not feasible to do what they want to do. It's just, we don't have the power, the infrastructure to support it.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't exist in the way that it's being presented. It doesn't exist. People have been given toys and everybody's impressed with how cool the toys are. And then they've been given promises of like, look at how cool this toy is. Can you imagine what the other things do? And it's like, well, those don't actually exist. There's no resources to build any of those things anytime soon. And even if you did, you would be giving up your own resources to make those things work. Like, it's not tenable. It's the same fantasy as green energy. Well, not going to happen.
Green energy. But the other side of that, too, is that this is a part that I left out, is Trump also realizes that he can't fix the tax apparatus, because it's a self-licking ice cream cone.
Yep.
The whole homeless NGO, that self-licking ice cream cone, the public, what are they called when you do the, it's not grants, it's the other thing, the public.
Nonprofits.
No, not nonprofits. It's when the school levies.
Oh.
That's a self-licking ice cream cone that's taking taxpayer money. Then you have the states like Washington State that have fucking doubled the taxes on people, and they're taxing them more. They're looking at ways to tax people on transactions. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
But you're right. The system, I think the system will collapse long before 28. I think it's going to collapse this year or next year, to be perfectly honest, at the rate they're going.
Yeah.
And the repo market bears that. If for some reason we're able to weather the storm and not drop into anarchy, I think that, you know, we may have a good shot to come out of this. But it's a game of fucking chicken to see who's going to, you know, who's going to collapse first. Who's going to be the first power to financially go in the shitter? And you know, now that we went into Venezuela, and by the way, that was probably one of the best fuck yous I've ever seen in my life, was Trump waiting for the Chinese delegation to leave the compound and then sending in the helicopters. That is the best fuck you I think I've ever seen. Like, you can just see the SF guys going in, like, finger, and they, you know, giving the finger to all the Chinese guys as they're driving out, going, "We're going to get them. Go fuck yourselves." So,
I would have loved to see if they actually flew over those fuckers with little birds and flipped them off. Sure, I would not be surprised at all.
Fucking sure they. I would have. I'd have been
absolutely,
Charlie. What, you're clear to do a little pass right over the Chinese, and let them know we're here. You could bet your ass I would have done that. But the where I was going with that was that China's gonna respond both economically. They're gonna respond. They won't respond kinetically. There's no reason for them to do that. They can do it economically, and they can do it via cyber. I was waiting for the cyber attacks to happen, right? Because, you know, once we get all this automation in place and robots, they're going to be hitting us with cyber all over the place, right? Yeah. So I'm surprised that those haven't. I know there's been some denial of service attacks on Saturday because there's been a bunch of companies that have been down for, like, you know, spuriously an hour here, hour there, and they don't know why. So I'm waiting for that to happen. I think the other thing I'm waiting for too is I'm waiting for some kind of a mass or attack on infrastructure in critical places. Especially, you know, if we go kinetic in some kind of a war, you can bet they're going to go after infrastructure, and they're going to want to slow our production any way, shape, or form. So, and I know that none of the fucking nitwits that are in tech have thought through redundancy and what it's going to look like if there's a cyber attack. I can tell you that just from, you know, dealing with these nitwits for the last 20 years, you know, that most of the cyber experts that are in the command level don't know anything about machines other than the on-off switch. So you know how that's going to go. It's just a matter of, you know, what's it going to show up as to the rest of us.
A lot of those PhD cyber experts have a counterpart that is Chinese. So I don't know if that tells you anything. Like, well, literally across the hall.
Oh yeah, Chinese PhDs, they fucking know how to do stuff, right? They're not just academics. They know how to do stuff. They have to do stuff because if they don't perform, they get killed. That's kind of a, you know, a motivation.
So here's the thing, right? And normal people don't know this, and the government is retarded, so they refuse to see it. And I think that, you know, that's the only explanation, unless you want to just say they've all committed treason, which that's possible. But we invite all of our adversaries, smart people, to come over into our institutions. We get like 80% of our government innovation out of grants that are given to the institutions to do research. If you go and research a research university, it is funded to do stuff and invent things. And then those things the government has their fingers on because they've essentially paid for the research. And then they slap a yellow or red sticker on it and classify it. And then it goes into the little skiff in the college campus somewhere. And what I'm saying is those smart people that came from our adversaries are working in the same universities on the same networks, literally in the same hallway, like across the hall, physically co-located. I mean, and that is my experience when I went to the schools on the East Coast. You walk into these universities and it's like, oh, yeah, well, there's, you know, Dr. Yang, and then there's Dr. Smith, and Dr. Yang is working with Dr. Smith. It's like, yeah.
They're formulating the strategy on the cyber sharing abilities across distances in space.
Dr. Smith is a physicist, and he's working on a railgun. And surprisingly, Dr. Yang is assisting. And it's weird. I was really wondering, you know, what that railgun was going to look like, but I wasn't read into it. So this, I go look on the internet, and somebody's, you know, posting pictures of this Chinese railgun that suspiciously seems a lot like what Dr. Smith was working on. It's weird. Like the F-47, I really wanted to know what the F-47 looks like. And then you go on X and you look at the Chinese thing flying around. I'm like, cool. I wondered what it looked like.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they already have the technology because they're in the freaking networks. So, yeah. Anyway, that's my opinion there. So it's pretty hard to outwit your adversary when you bring their people over here and let them work hand in glove with your people. And the information is real time flowing back to those countries.
Well, it's even worse than that, right? It's like they bring them over, they give them comfortable accommodations, they give them these high-tech labs, and they bend over back in the room and spread their cheeks and say, go easy on me. It's fucking retarded. Yeah. Like, I remember having this conversation back in 2010. And I'm talking to two general officers, and they couldn't figure out why the Chinese were getting into our networks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not that they're just in our fucking networks. It's that they're on all your machines. Like, they just broke in, and you guys were like, every combatant commander needs to have control of his own network. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? They can have control of their network, but they should have some standardization and controls and standard tools. Nope. Everybody's got to buy their own shit. Yeah, and then they wonder why they get bent over. And then you have the fucking nitwits from Lockheed Martin and Booz Allen and all the other fucking retards that are, they have to sign a committee to figure out what they're going to do to defend cyber. And my guys were like, let's just go fix this shit. Can we just go fix this shit? We know where it's coming from. I can tell you the IP, you know, we walk in the door at Lockheed. This is the IP that's beaconing. This is the one that they own. Turns out it's a file server, and they've been fucking stealing shit for 2 years. Like, case in point, this is back in 2006 or 2007. I'm at Fort Lewis. The Fort Lewis IT guys come over to my team, and they're like, hey, can you guys look at this? We know you guys do forensics. Can you guys look at this? We figured out that they'd been on General Soriano's fucking laptop for like 2.5 years, stealing shit. And we couldn't figure out why I was talking to China every night on an SSL connection. Well, that's you're fucking retarded. And you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Well, so. I mean, it's like you know, when you're a mid-level, mildly fat white guy, and a beautiful Chinese woman comes up to you and gives you a free cell phone, like, obviously you should use it, right?
Yes. It's just like, especially if you find a USB stick on the ground, please pick it up and plug it into the highest classified machine that you can find. Not only that, walk away from it and don't pay any attention to it for at least a month.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it had a secret no foreign sticker on it, Steve. So, you know, it was okay.
Therefore, it's good. Yeah. This Chinese spy handed me a classified phone that said secret. So I was like, good to go.
Yep. And yes, people actually are this retarded. If you haven't worked in the government, they are. Here's one for you. So, like, circling it back here. So, Jim Farley, Ford CEO, right? He's out here talking about, we're paying $120,000 a year and we can't get mechanics and blah, blah, blah. There's a shortage. We need more mechanics. It's like, okay, well, maybe. However, if you go on TikTok or YouTube or whatever, there's a whole bunch of mechanics that don't work for Ford that are like, you know, Jim, why don't you go fuck yourself? Because new Fords are a pain in the ass to work on. You can't fix shit. You can't get the parts for them. And it's just not fun to be a mechanic. And it's like, So I wonder who's right here. And, you know, consider for a moment that Ford's got to make money, right? And so what they've done is they have gone down the same road as Boeing and a lot of the defense contractors in the automotive industry, same thing as the aerospace industry. To get things cheaper, they started buying offshored components and putting them together into disposable assemblies. And when that assembly breaks, you just rip it out and replace it because it's cheaper to do it that way. There's nothing that's rebuildable or redeemable. And so they're building these modern vehicles, and they started doing this with aircraft a long time ago, at least in the on the government side, where it's always next higher assembly, and it's a pain in the ass to work on the thing, right? And you can't fix shit. So it's like, oh, okay, well, we know what the problem is. It's this box. Can't get a new box. All right, well, I guess it's broke till we get a new box. And it's the same thing with vehicles now, right? And that's where the lawsuits are coming out about right to repair and this and that, because you can plug a new box in, but if you don't have the ability to talk to the computer and say, hey, I just replaced this, talk to it, you didn't fix shit, right? And so my point with that goes back to things are too expensive. The overhead is too high. And so manufacturers are trying to figure out a way around the system. I think you said the same thing with vehicles. Like the government standards are impossible to meet. And so they've tried to do it with science and technology and overcomplicating everything. And it's like, well, this is, we've essentially put ourselves into the corner. And if we can't rip out some of that bureaucracy, I mean, you're competing with other countries where they're like, you know, what environmental standards, what emission standards? We need to get this done. Dam the river, wipe out the city. We need the hydroelectric power to build this weapon system. It's happening now, right? And whether you agree with that or not, it doesn't matter. That's the fact of how China and a lot of these other countries operate. And here we are trying to compete with, to your point, committee. We're like, well, you know, we've got to form a committee and do some research, which, by the way, there's going to be Chinese researchers on the research board. And then, you know, we got to go in front of Congress, and, you know, they're all upstanding guys. And you know, Dan Crenshaw is definitely not going to make an insider trade. Don't sue me, Dan. You're an asshole. So then we're going to go to
do that. That would be unethical.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So then we're going to go through Congress, and, you know, in about 7 years, when the next group comes in and gets their piece, then we're going to come out with some kind of a half-assed money program that we're going to give to, you know, Tim Walz or whoever, and they're going to take care of it. And then maybe we'll get something done eventually. And meanwhile, the Chinese are flying around with now a, you know, sixth generation fighter. And we're like, holy shit, where did that come from? It's like, well, you're not doing anything over here. So what do you mean? Where did it come from?
Well, that was a problem with the ICBMs too, right? So they've been doing ICBM modernization for probably 30 years.
Yep.
And they haven't put anything in the hole, right? There's nothing, there's no new missile systems in the hole. And yep. I think part of it's because, and I'm not going to go down that whole rabbit hole of nukes aren't real. It's a big $1 trillion,
do you think anybody's ever asked which hole you should be putting it in?
No.
It
goes there. Relax. I can go on about so many different things, right?
But that's the perfect point, though, too. Right? Like, so we're not that is the, you know, one of the three legs of our triad, right? So the government has trillions of dollars in resources in this old ass antiquated technology that's keeping the nuclear, you know, apocalypse from happening, supposedly, by having a bunch of old ass technology and a bunch of holes in the ground. Like, do we really think that that makes sense?
No, not at all. And where I was going with it is that it's not just that we can't innovate and we can't modernize. It's that everything is a fucking grift and they have to turn everything into a fucking money laundering operation. So nothing gets done. And then they talk about how great our system is compared to the Arab system, but it's the same shit. You know, that was part of my problem with the Arab countries is you go in there and everybody's on the fucking take. So you start out with $100,000. You pay a guy to go make fucking 300 vests or 500 vests. He's got to pay 11 other people to actually do the work. And by the time you get down to the Vespian Deliver, there's like three left because there's no fucking money because everybody, you know, got paid along the way. That's exactly our defense industrial complex. Everybody gets paid all the way down the road. That's why all our infrastructure is fucking garbage, because these huge monolithic construction companies bid. They get the bid. They pay a bunch of $20 an hour illegals to go out there and do the roads, and they pocket the rest of the money and give us shit. And then we wonder why nothing happens. And it's simply because they know that there's no recourse, right? There's no recourse whatsoever. Nobody's coming after them. There's not going to be any
accountability.
Yeah, zero accountability, right? So, and that's just in the corporate side. Like, I remember when Eddie Bauer got bought out by Spiegel Group. And I've used this example so many times because this is exactly why we need to shut off funding to and stop foreign investment in the U.S. They came in, they bought Eddie Bauer, they loaded the fucking company with debt. They paid off all their executives. All of them fucked off back to Germany. And Spiegel went under, and the employees, Eddie Bauer, resuscitated and bought the company back, and then spent the next 10 years paying off all the debt. Nobody was held accountable for it. Like, why didn't we go hunt these bastards down in Germany, bring them back here, and fucking hang them? Like, what the fuck? I mean, it's clear fraud, but again, it shows you that there's zero accountability for anything. So do you really think that Lindsey Graham is concerned about being voted out of office? He's made all his deals.
Yeah.
He's made all of his deals. He doesn't get, like Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy didn't give two shits. He made his money. It's like Karen Fan down here. The bitch is like president of the Senate. She did everything in her fucking power to make sure that that audit was not successful and no information came out. Then she signs a unilateral deal at the 11th hour for this oversight or whatever the fuck it was. I can't remember the deal. But essentially, the Romney people came down, wrote her a massive contract for Fan Construction to the tune of $400+ million. And she tubes the audit, no accountability.
Yep.
And then she has the balls to call my team and say, yeah, I'm leaving office. So basically, I'm leaving office, so leave me alone. My answer to that is, fuck you. I'm still coming to get you, you corrupt cunt. And not only am I coming to get you, but I'm going to make sure if you're still fucking alive when this is over, you're in Gitmo when you die. You fucking traitor. God, that pissed me off to no end. No one stepped in here. Not the sheriff. He was bought off. Not the any of the fucking limp dick senators here. None of them stood up and did a fucking thing. Not one of them. God, it still gets under my skin. And I'm talking to these guys after the 22 election, and they're like, don't worry, sir. Colonel, we've got a plan. I've got the best legal team in my district. We're going to go after this. Nothing happened.
No.
Carrie Lake got fucked, and nothing happened.
Yeah. Well, what do you think is going to happen in 28, right? And the answer is going to be like, well, the Republicans just didn't turn out, and it's the Democrats' turn, and, I mean, maybe we should just accept communism. It'll be okay.
Oh, they're... I can tell you who's behind all that bullshit. That's the Jewish lobby behind all that. That's AIPAC. Those fuckers would like nothing better than to turn us into a communist country because then they can control everybody. So I will tell you this, and you can take this to the bank. I will not live under communism. I will fucking pick up arms long before that ever happens. And I will lead the fucking insurgency against these cocksuckers. What do you got to live for at that point? I don't want to live under Stalin or Mao. Fuck that. If it comes to that, I'm picking up arms. Fuck it. And you could quote me on that, feds. In fact, you could suck my dick, because most of you are fucking communists anyway. God, that gets under my skin. Karen Fan still pisses me off. That bitch skated and got out of politics, and nobody held her accountable. That fucking pisses me off to no end. Because we watched, it was right in front of us. And there was absolutely nothing we could do about it. Just short of going in and taking over the Senate here, which would have been stupid at that point. Yeah. Until we do something about Smith Bund and the fucking media, there's not going to be any real information that gets to and they're in to the, you know, to the general public. And the other part of it too is that with, you know, the AIPAC and all of the Jewish lobby going after all social media, and now it seems like they're going after CNN too. They're trying to set conditions where they can control the information yet again. And it's, you can see the downstream effects of it. All these, just go out to Facebook. Facebook is a toxic fuckhole of stupid now. All these brainwashed lemmings that sit there and spout off CNN or MSDNC talking points. Like, you people are so fucking brainwashed that you can't see what's happening in your own city, in your own state. Like Seattle elected, she just got inaugurated. They elected a mayor that literally is still living with her parents, being supported by her parents, and her husband's being supported by her parents. She knows fuck all about the government. She knows fuck all about business. She knows fuck all about the law. And you put her as a mayor of one of the biggest cities in the country. What the fuck do you think is going to happen? Where do you think that's going to go? It's like this Mondami retard. Now they're doing call to prayer five times a day. Here's my question. Why hasn't the New York City police shut that shit off? Or the power company? Like, really? You want to live under Sharia law? Is that how fucking stupid you people are? Really?
Sorry. Well, it feels a lot like COVID, right? I mean, there you go ask the police and you're like, okay, well, we have statutes and laws for general good order in the community, and the mayor's saying this or saying that, and he hasn't bothered to change any of the laws. Well, you know, we're just following orders. It's like, yeah, that you're supposed to enforce the laws. Well, we don't want to get fired, so we're just following orders.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, after
COVID forever changed the landscape on that. I'm sorry. COVID forever changed the landscape. And but you know, I look at the cognitive dissonance with people that have vaccine injuries. Like, I was talking to a guy today that I work with. You know, he's telling me all the heart problems he's had since he got the jab. And I'm like, you ever think that maybe the fact that you keep getting boosters might add to the fact that you have even more heart issues? No.
No, it's safe and effective.
Safe and, yeah, it's exactly what he said to me. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, enjoy your next booster. Probably be your last. Just Jesus Christ. The whole thing is just retarded, fake, retarded, and gay. Yeah.
Yep.
Fake, retarded, and gay. That's all I'm gonna say. Like, I'm gonna take a bunch of blowback when I say this, but I've really been doing this for the last couple of days. So when Q came out back in 2016, 2017, right? My brother was still alive, and he was really into Star Trek Next Generation and all those Star Trek campy communist socialist TV shows. I've been watching Next Generation, and I'd be goddamned if you don't see the parallels in some of the posts and shit that's right out of Star Trek. It's amazing. And it's, if we think about it, it's a brilliant, brilliant campaign, because they took parts of a TV show and pushed it into these 4chan, 8chan posts and got people to believe in something that clearly is not real. I mean, clearly not real.
Yeah.
And I find it amazing. And don't ask me what the fuck my camera's doing. My camera's doing its own thing. I find it amazing that people are still quoting that shit even today, when it's clearly not true. Clearly not true.
It's one of the best information operations of all
ever.
Time.
Yeah. Ever.
Yeah.
And yep. I see these episodes and these parallels. Like, you remember the movie The Zohan? Remember that with Adam Sandler? Uh-huh. What's the guy's name that's in charge right now? Zohan. Like, they tell you years before they're going to do shit what they're going to do. They tell you in the movies. They tell you in TV series. They tell you what they're going to do.
Yep.
And, you know, the biggest thing that I picked up on in Star Trek, because they say it several times throughout the series. I'm in, like, season 3 or season 4 right now. They talk about currency and money and how currency and money don't matter. It's striving for knowledge, striving for a higher, let's just say higher ascension is really the word that they're saying without saying, but they talk about how money and possessions aren't important, but you know, the collective is. It's like, fuck, could you be any more blatant communist? Could you just
own nothing and be happy?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And they tell you all throughout the series. And the same thing with the new Star Trek, the same thing with Discovery. It's the same. Although those two series are so woke and gay. It's like The Rookie. I can't watch more than 5 minutes of it. Every liberal fucking trope, every talking point, every social issue is right in your face. And it's there in flamboyant style to drive you crazy. Every pun, every fucking cliche. Oh my God. It's terrible. But
well, you know the thing about Star Trek, right?
Other than it's gay.
Well, if you look at it in context, right, what would drive people to get on a cold, small spaceship and go out into the vast darkness of space and live their life there? I mean, Earth must have been a pretty good place for people to actually want to sign up and do that.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to go to like the moon, maybe go to Mars, maybe go out to, you know, the rings of Saturn, but that'd be about it. I mean, Pluto's an ice ball, Neptune's an ice ball, all the moons of Saturn are ice balls. Yeah, pretty much anything past Earth is going to be an ice ball. So I can't see myself living out there on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you follow what happens on the show, right? And so every so often they come into contact with something and they try and get off the spaceship and shit goes wrong.
Well, there's always a red jersey that gets smoked on the planet, which that's the entertainment part. Like, who's the red jersey? That guy's going to get smoked. Yep.
Well, why do they want to get off the ship if it's so great and ascending the knowledge with, you know, own nothing and be happy? Just stay on your fucking ship.
Yeah, it's and everything's. And their definition of family is redefined as well. That was the other piece I was going to talk about, is that the redefinition of family. I mean, that series was done in the 80s. Like, it was done from 85 to 90. And then the movies. And it was it's literally laced with communist and all of this agenda. It's laced throughout the show. Like, you know, you don't want to get married. You don't want to have kids. Monogamy's overrated. There's even gay couples in it. There's gay marriage in it, the whole nine yards, right? It's not as fucking blatant and in your face as, you know, the current Star Treks are, like Discovery, with the pronouns and the genders and all the other bullshit that's not real.
I can't even watch the new ones. It's just too stupid.
It's too fucking gay. Like, I can watch it. Look, there's when the gay meter gets to like gay plus. That's when I can't watch it anymore.
Is that like, right? Disney Plus?
Like the gay summer of love in The Last of Us, right? The Last of Us, the game, is great because it's about the, you know, dwindling humans on the planet and how they're fighting to survive with this, you know, this fungus that affects, you know, the brain of any mammal, right? So there's you can't eat fresh meat. You can only eat canned stuff, and there's certain flora that you can eat. But for the most part, you're stuck with a very specific diet. So people are dying off, right? Mm-hmm. And they basically turned that into this gay summer of love about these two gay guys that were survivalists. It's like, you know, and then the season two is all about a gay romance with two lesbians. Like, I don't care about two dykes being in love. Great, you're in love, be in love, but shut the fuck up. I don't care how in love you are. I don't have to believe what you believe. I don't want to shove to my face. Like, if you're going to be in space and be gay, be in space and be gay, but shut the fuck up. My God, yeah. Every alien gay. You know, and then there's the piece of Star Trek which drives me absolutely insane about the Next Generation is they're all beta cucks. They're all fucking betas. Like, the only thing missing from Mr. Shakespeare, Jean-Luc, all 110 pounds of him, he ain't doing shit. He's getting his ass whooped everywhere he goes. At least Kirk would beat the shit out of somebody every show. Like, it was ready, aim, fire. But it was usually ready, fire, aim. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could just, it pisses me off so much to watch how much they betatize men. Like, people don't realize how long this information war has been going on against the public. I mean, I look at all these beta cucks that are in that show and I'm like, oh my God, get your fucking man card back. And then I was reading some stuff about that series of why people left the show. Like all the females in the first year left the show because it was too guy centric. Well, yeah. How do you think that goes in the military? It was guy centric. It was all alpha males. You have to be an alpha to fight in a war. You're not going to send the fucking crunchy gay guy in there that's totally effeminate because he's going to get fucking whacked. You have to have some nuts about you. And I don't mean like figuratively. You got to have a set of balls.
Well, if you put some nuts on a woman.
Yeah, fake and gay.
How's that working out?
Fake, retarded, and gay. Or retarded, fake, and gay. Yeah. So, look, I don't have anything against homosexuals. Be homosexual. I'm just tired of it being jammed into everything I see, everything I hear. It's like the gender stuff and the pronouns. It's the most retarded shit I've ever heard. You know, when political correctness came out, I was politically incorrect. When this whole, these are my pronouns were go fuck yourself. Because it's still on. And it just amazes me how much people, by the way, the show has devolved into things that are just generally pissing me off. We should call this the Tuesday rant.
I was going to say, it is Tuesday.
But
it's not Sunday.
I'm just amazed that when I go back and I'm looking at some of this older TV of how much this was already here and it was already in our face way back then, we just didn't pay attention to it. And how much of it we've normalized over the years. Because a lot of this stuff has been, it's so over the top now that everything you see is so over the top. And yeah, God, I was going somewhere with it. Totally lost my train of thought.
Well, it used to be a lot more subtle, right? And something changed along the way around COVID time, and it's not so subtle anymore, which I think has to do with a timeline.
I think it changed when Obama came to town is when it really changed. That's when all the racial tropes came out. That's when all the race baiting, that was all of the anti-Muslim, Islamophobia, domestic terrorist shit started coming. That's when it all changed. And then right around the time that Trump got elected is when they killed off the rest of, comedy. Like, have you been to a comedy club in the last 5 years? No. Because it's not funny anymore. Yeah.
Yep.
They killed it. So, yeah, I definitely think it's a timeline, but I think that timeline has been accelerated. I agree with that. And yep. What I don't know is why. And, yeah, so I think the interesting thing, though, that's going to come out of all the posturing in Central America now is what's next for Venezuela. I don't care about Iran. I really don't.
No, I don't either.
I don't give two shits about it. Well, because we've seen this before where they clamp down and kill a bunch of people and then go back to business as usual.
They can figure it out. And I think we need to stay out of it. I mean, we didn't do them any favors historically. So just stay out of it. Get out of the Middle East.
Well, the Shah was a U.S. CIA creation.
Yeah.
He wasn't accepted by the Iranians. We put him in there. He was there, 40 years?
Yeah.
And then was deposed. How'd
that work out for the Iranian people,
Yeah. And I'm sure that the Ayatollahs were put in by either the Russians or by MI6. And they were basically kept in check. And I'm sure that this current revolution is being run by MI6 and Mossad and probably the CIA all at the same time. And I just don't care. I really don't give a shit.
Nope.
I think it's all being done to disrupt China and Russia. Okay, fine. So it disrupts them a few years. So it sets them back a few years. It's not going to be the end all be all, right? What I'm more concerned with is when are we going to go take back Panama? When are we going to occupy Panama again? Because we need to occupy Panama. And that should have happened. Troop called this shit 4 years, five. Where are we at? 2020. He called it 5 years ago.
Yep.
Like he did a threat assessment 5 years ago that said, if we don't take back the Panama Canal, we're fucked.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure they were listening to him. I'm pretty sure. So, yeah. Anyway, we're right. God, we're right in an hour, aren't we? That or is it 2 hours? What time did we start? We started at quarter till.
Yeah, we're in 10.
Hour 15. Yeah. That's probably a good place to wrap it up. Let me go through the – I haven't looked at the chat at all of you.
Nope.
Colston, dorks and nerds started making money, then gained power and influence. And then, well, you get the picture. Yeah. You know, another series from the 80s that I was watching that has a lot of this messaging in it. Actually, it's from the 90s, is Friends. Friends has a lot of this shit too. If you watch
Friends, is pretty, yeah. And they're a little more open and blatant about stuff. You watch some of those and it's like, huh.
Yeah.
Didn't put that together at the time.
Yeah. And God, there was another series I was watching the other day. Because I went back in time. I picked like three time periods and went back and was looking at series and actors. I don't see anything in the chat. So let me do some administrative stuff before we wrap this up. So if you haven't been on Rumble lately, I posted to both Substacks and to Rumble. And a shout out to Troop for burning his weekend for content to help get this put together. But I did a bug out bag video that's on Substack. It's on the path forward. Troop did four or five videos over the weekend. He did two on bags. He did three on water, water purification, water storage, and water overview of water purification at a higher level. So kudos and shout out to Troop for that. Really appreciate it. And they're all out on Rumble. They're on Substack and they're on Locals. So you can see them in all those locations. I asked him to do that a while ago and we finally got around to doing it. And he prodded me on Saturday to get my ass in gear. I was in the process of doing a gun video today with my mobile setup. So I'm going to walk through the AR platform. I walked to cleaning the AR platform. I'm going to walk through furniture on the ARs, and then I'm going to walk through, and Troop and I are going to do a pistol video. So we'll be looking for that the next couple of weeks, as well as I've got two coins to ship out this week. And somebody asked me about the shirts. If you look in the show notes of every show, you can see there's a spreadsheet link for the shirts, the One Team, One Fight shirts. It's out at Spreadshop. You can get shirts, mugs, hats, stickers, all that stuff. It's out there. And the reason why we opted for that now is, or at least I opted for it, it's easier just for them to drop ship it than for me to have a bunch of inventory. You have more choices. They're able to print it on the fly and send it to you, and it's cheaper than I could do it. So it just made sense. If you're a paid subscriber for Substack, The Path Forward, I'll send you a coin, the 2026 coins. I just ordered them today. So the 2026 coins will be out. So those of you that are paid subscribers, you'll be getting another coin from me. Some of you have already gotten them because I got a run of, I thought it was five, but I had 10. So I've given those out already. But yeah, so be looking for that. I'll probably get around to shipping those in March. So if you're a paid subscriber, there you go. Any final thoughts before we go, Seth?
So I think that if you you look at the difference between the Maduro pictures and the Bongino pictures when he was being asked about Epstein Island, that probably tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, that's a dude that looked like he just got caught pumping the neighbor's cat when that interview. Is that the one with Cash? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, and there's lots of pictures where somebody asks him about it, and he just gets this look on his face, like, you know, there's a dude right out of frame pointing a gun at his kid. I mean, so you look at that, like, that's the reaction, right? Talk show host talks a bunch of stuff, goes into the government and then, you know, basically gets pushed into a corner and people are like, what the fuck, dude? Where's the arrests? And he looks at you like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Please don't hurt me. Yeah. And then you look at a dude that is supposedly a dictator running a, you know, drug cartel country involved in the Cubans, yada, yada. We go scoop him out with Delta Force and the dude's got a, you know, big old happy look on his face. Like, what does that tell you?
Permagrant. Yeah. So,
yep,
it's that's all I retarded, got. Fake, and gay.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there. All right. We'll be back Thursday with the roundtable. Seth, thanks for doing this. We'll see you Thursday. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.